Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side.
Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are explicit sexual content and death.
And we have a review.
Yeah.
This one is from Blue Q Kazoo 98, and it says, I call my husband a horny little rat.
Oh, wow.
Scandalous.
Naughty.
It says, I have binged all of y'all's episodes and have loved it. I've never laughed so hard in my life and feel like I'm sitting there with y'all. Keep it up, you horny little rats. I can't wait for more.
Thank you.
You fellow little horny rat.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Pestilence by Laura Thalassa. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I gave it a 3.
Ah! Silent scream.
The concept is terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Is this like a human book?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. Is it dark?
Yeah. Well, it's morbid. I wouldn't say it's dark. It's more morbid.
Yeah.
Morbid. I feel like we don't get morbid books very often.
No.
I mean, he's morally gray. Like, he's not bad or good. He's just, you'll see. It's hard to explain.
I'm so sorry, Jenna. I know your heart is hurting right now.
I loved this book. 5 stars. So this is a reread for me, and I've actually read the entire series. The first time I think I gave it like a 4.5, because I was just like, wow, this concept is amazing. The rest of the series is really good. So this time when I read it, I gave it like a 4, rounded up from like a 3.75, because I found the dialogue a little cringy.
Yeah. I heard the other ones are better. Like, yes. This is the least favorite of the 4.
Yes. So my favorite in the series is Famine. So there's Pestilence, War, Famine, and Death.
Everyone was saying, in my book club, was saying Famine is the best one.
Yeah, Famine was really good. But yeah, I liked it. It wasn't as good on a reread, I think, because I wasn't as mesmerized by the concept, because I already knew the concept. The first time I read it, I was like, I've never read anything like this before. This is amazing. But this time I was kind of like noticing some of the dialogue was a little bit cringy. But some people might not mind that. Some people maybe like cringy dialogue. I'm not one of those people. But yeah, it was really good.
I literally ugly cried, like on my couch, sobbed.
The book starts out with us learning that the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse came down to Earth to end all of humanity 5 years ago. Pestilence, war, famine, and death. Just as quickly as they came, the 4 horsemen disappeared. But nothing was the same ever again, and society fell. Until one day, Pestilence returned, spreading the messianic fever wherever he went and killing everyone in his path with disease.
Wow.
Yeah, so he like rides his horse across... He can, like, ride across the ocean and stuff. So he's already, like, I think he's already taken down Europe at this point.
I think so, too. He's working on North America right now.
Where's he come from?
Heaven.
Oh.
Yeah, it is quite biblical. And when he rides through a town, he doesn't have to, like, touch you. He just, like, spreads this fever. And the fever within, like, I think you die within, like, 3 or 4 days. You get these, like, nasty boils that explode. And you get a fever. And then you just die this horrible, painful death. So that's his mission.
This reminds me of this phone game I would play.
Plague Inc.?
I forgot what it's called.
Yes!
I fucking love Plague Inc. I love Plague Inc. Sometimes I get way too frustrated, though.
though, because I'm like, why can't I win?
Ooh, Iceland?
I can't kill everyone or whatever.
Or is it Greenland?
It's Russia. It's Russia. Russia always gets me.
Have you guys played Plague Inc.?
No. I have no idea what you guys are talking
about. Oh my God, you should play it.
I paid for that shit.
I did at one point too.
I'm not a game gal.
Shelby's like, I don't know how else to tell you. I'm not going to fucking play it.
I literally play no games at all.
What's that like? I just downloaded a farm sim this morning. So Briggs, Luke, Felix, and Sarah are drawing matchsticks for who has to go out to their death to try and take down the approaching horsemen. So they're in Canada. Pestilence is about to ride his horse through their town, and one of them has to try and take him down. Sarah draws the unlucky stick and tells the guys to tell her parents what happened when all of this is over, because it's essentially a death sentence.
Damn.
The three men pack their things, leaving her behind with only her grandfather's shotgun and the promise of death. Sarah sets up camp next to the nearest highway, as she knows that's the route Pestilence is most likely to take, and waits. She waits the entire night, and snow starts to fall around her. The next morning, wolves begin to howl, and the birds take off in the sky. He's coming. She hears his horse clomping down the road and sees him. He's breathtakingly beautiful, blonde with a gold crown and an angelic face. She lines up her shotgun and tells herself if she does this, everyone she loves will live, and pulls the trigger. Pestilence falls off his horse, who shrieks and runs off. She doesn't know if the horse spreads the sickness as well, so she lines up her shotgun again and fires. The horse falls and lays motionless.
No!
She approaches a bloody Pestilence to see what the damage is and hears him groan. She runs back to camp to get lighter fluid and her matches. She douses him and nearly vomits as she strikes her match. She does not want to do this. She doesn't want to burn a man alive, which is kind of ironic because she was a firefighter.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
How the turntables.
Pestilence grabs Sarah's ankle, begging her, please, not to do this, but she knows that she has to.
I thought he was like some godly creature.
He is.
He can just be shot and burned alive?
He can.
Oh, just wait. Okay. Just you wait.
She drops the match. She knows his metal armor is essentially cooking him alive, but there's nothing she can do to ease his suffering. So, like, she doesn't want to do it, and she hates that she's doing it, but she's still doing it because it's for the greater good.
Yeah.
But, like, his metal armor is impenetrable. So, like, he's cooking inside of this metal armor.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's gruesome. She watches as his skin bubbles and blisters, and finally he stops screaming.
That's so sad.
She stares at his body for hours before realizing his horse is gone, and there's a bloody trail from where it was laying.
No.
Yeah. She tells herself tomorrow she'll worry about it. Today she doesn't have anything left in her to finish the job. She feels sick, and she doesn't know if it's the elements and the malnutrition or the plague, but she knows that she's unwell. She falls asleep in her tent, and she wakes up to a charred Pestilence angrily grabbing her by the throat. Yeah. Telling her she's the most vile human he's ever encountered.
Yeah.
He can still be injured, and he heals himself, but, like, very slowly.
Yeah, he regenerates.
Ew! So he's just, like, a burnt little Chris?
Yeah. Yeah.
With, like, missing pieces of muscle and stuff?
Yeah.
No.
He tells her she's a fool. Humans have been trying to kill him this entire time, but none were successful. Everywhere he goes, someone thinks they can kill him to save their malignant world, and now she's going to pay. He yanks her up and binds her hands behind her back. She doesn't fight. She doesn't have it in her to. He ties her bindings to his horse, who is understandably wary of her, and says he won't be killing her. Death is too swift. He'll be making her suffer, and takes off, forcing her to keep up with him. So he's just dragging her behind the horse.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's rough. But honestly, what did you expect?
She expected him to die.
Yeah, but obviously he's not human. So, like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. And everywhere he goes, someone tries to kill him, and he's like, God damn it.
Again? Another town?
You guys, how are you not getting it? Like, do you think you're the first one that's gonna kill him? No.
No.
Oh, I mean, I guess you could try, but, like...
And everyone is trying.
No.
He drags her all day, and slowly his skin and injuries repair themselves. They come to a desolate house that night, and Sarah is exhausted and sweating, and her wrists are rubbed raw. He asks her if she enjoyed her run, and she just says, fuck you.
I can't even run to a stop sign. Like, I don't know how this girl runs for, like, miles.
I'm not keeping up with a horse.
No. And he's not going slow for her, and it was all day.
I had to run recently at the Salt Lake City airport, and I ate shit. So.
as I was crying. So that was fun.
He unfastens her from his horse and drags her up to the front door, kicking it down. And this is such a theme in the book, him just kicking down front doors. He does it at least 20 times.
He's a real man.
He leaves her downstairs and goes into one of the bedrooms and gets some new clothing for himself, since his old ones were obviously incinerated. And some of his clothing will, like, regenerate with him.
Yeah.
Oh.
He takes off his armor and she's ogling his beautiful body and notices that he has glowing markings on his chest in a ring-like pattern. Now he's wearing a flannel and jeans and busts out some duct tape and wraps it around her ropes, making it impossible for her to untie. He tells her that he begged for his life yesterday. He pleaded for mercy and got none. And she says she's not sorry, even though she really is. She tells him she needs to go to the bathroom, and he's like, go in your pants then, human.
I mean, you burned him alive.
Yeah, he's like, shit yourself. I don't care.
Yeah. And at this point, I wouldn't keep holding up my, like, fuck you attitude. I'd probably be like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
You are right. I shouldn't have burned you alive. Sorry.
She shouldn't have, but she did.
My apologies.
I mean, I get it.
She, like, hates him, though, because he's, like, killing everyone in the whole world. So She's like, fuck you.
Yeah. But maybe he was told to do that.
And he was.
You know? He just works there. He's not in charge.
Listen, ma'am, you don't sign my paycheck.
She tells him if he's gonna keep her alive, she does need to eat, drink, shit, and piss. So he rips off her bindings and brings her to the bathroom. He refuses to give her any privacy and just fully stares at her vagina when she gets her pants down. And she's like, if this bugs you, then leave the bathroom. And he's like, empty yourself, human. So she does.
How degrading. Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to pee.
No. I'd be like, it went back in.
My body absorbed it.
Yeah. When she's done, he ties her back up to the railing in the living room, and the next morning he brings her a loaf of bread and Worcestershire sauce and says, here is your sustenance. Yeah. He has no idea how, like, the human body works, so he gives her weird food combinations. And he tells her that she'll be eating while she runs today.
Miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just eating salty
bread
and salty sauce.
I would just stuff some bread in my pockets and eat it later.
He ties her back up to the horse and sets off, but she's absolutely depleted from the day before and falls 15 miles into the journey, which I was like, 15 miles is good for you.
Yeah, bitch, what?
She's like, I only did 15 miles today.
I mean, to be fair, she is a firefighter, so like, you have to be in shape, but like, to run 15 fucking miles?
Yeah, Jesus. I only did 15. I'd be like, I ran half a mile.
She must have run, what, like 40 or 50 miles the day before then.
Yeah.
Insane.
He doesn't stop when she falls, and her arm pulls violently out of her socket.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
She screams, but he pays it no mind and keeps on going while she's just being dragged behind the horse. She keeps her head up as best she can, and she can feel her clothes being ripped to shreds. Just when she's pretty sure she's going to die, Pestilence stops at another house. He picks her up and kicks down the door, but this house is not abandoned, and an old woman screams.
Oh, don't kill her.
The woman tries to tell them to leave, but Pestilence is like, no, we are staying. This human needs your amenities. He ignores the screaming woman and kicks down doors until he finds a bedroom and drops Sarah down, telling her to sleep. So he just puts her in a bed and he's like, fall asleep now.
Night-night.
She asks for him to unbind her wrists and he says, no funny business, and does, and then tells her he doesn't feel bad for her even a little bit. It's obvious he's not leaving, so she tries to sleep even though it's still daytime, but it's no use, so she breaks and is just like, hey, just so you know, we drew matchsticks to choose who had to kill you. And he's like, I truly do not care.
He's like, you still did it, so yeah. Don't care.
She tells him for what it's worth, she's sorry, and he laughs and calls her a liar and says she's not. Sarah hated what she did, but in that moment, she was going to do what she had to do, and he's silent for a moment and he just tells her to go to sleep. She wakes up in the morning to Pestilence gone, and she can hear the homeowner crying somewhere in the house. She takes her opportunity to escape out the window, but she barely makes it anywhere before there's an arrow in her shoulder blade. She forces herself to keep running, but another one hits her in the lower back, and then she hears hoofbeats. Pestilence rides up behind her and grabs the arrows, yanking them out, and he tells her that she has proven that she cannot be trusted, and she does not get to sleep anymore.
Oh, savage.
My God, I'm speechless.
It's also romantic.
Now, I'm like, how could they possibly fuck? How?
He ties her back up to the horse as she begs him not to, but he literally does not care because he begged her before and she still burned him alive.
And whenever she begs, he gets, like, very angry. Anytime she says please, he's like, shut your fucking mouth. I said please and you burned me. Don't say please.
He literally punishes her every time she says please.
Uh-huh. It pisses him off.
Yeah.
He gets back on the horse and doesn't even check if she's standing up before he takes off again. They travel all night and eventually she just collapses from being dragged by her wrists behind the horse. She screams as her back is torn up from the icy road, and even though she feels like she's going to die, death never comes. She eventually passes out and comes to, extremely delirious, to an angelic face above her. She cups his face and asks if she's in heaven and begs him not to leave her, and then passes out again. She wakes up in her room and Pestilence is holding her hand and she screams. She looks down to see she's wearing a stranger's clothes, her wrists are bandaged, and her dislocated shoulders are back in the sockets.
Helped her.
He did. She lifts up her shirt to see her entire torso is bandaged as well, and he tells her to remember his kindness. And she's like, you did this to me, and he tells her not to try to escape again. She wakes up a while later, really having to go to the bathroom, but Pestilence is nowhere in sight. She hears moaning from somewhere in the house, and Pestilence finally shows up and sees her on the floor trying to move. So she's like trying to scoot herself across the floor to get to a bathroom.
Oh, can she not walk?
She's fucked up.
Yeah, she got shot twice.
That's true.
Her arms are ripped out of the socket. She's like ground beef on her back, pretty much.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Sorry, that was a visual.
Yeah,
that was a visual.
I don't eat beef, so.
And neither do I.
You can't ruin it for me. He helps her to the bathroom and this time gives her some privacy. When she's done, he brings her back to the room where she stays for 2 days, except for when Pestilence brings her to and from the bathroom and brings her weird-ass food combinations like mustard and uncooked pasta.
Mustard and uncooked pasta. I was, like, starving and...
Sure. Bon appetit, baby.
I mean, yes, I would eat it, but I think I would be hysterical. I'd be so upset.
Yeah.
I'd be like, give me the fucking bread and Worcestershire.
She's finally able to walk and she decides to explore the house. As she's looking around, she comes across a man lying on the couch covered in bloody and infected bumps, and the air smells rotten. But the man is still alive. She knows this is the messianic fever that Pestilence spreads, and he wanted her to see this. She walks up to him and takes his hand, and he wheezes that she shouldn't touch him, and she tells him it's all right, she's here to help him. She dabs him with a wet washcloth and helps him drink a glass of whiskey, and he moans that he's the last one. They're all dead. So his entire family, everyone that was in the house, has died from the fever while she was recovering in the room, and now he's on death's door.
So he controls who gets it, because obviously he's like spreading it around. She's there too, but she's not getting it.
So he has full control over all infection.
Okay. Yeah, so he like speeded up her recovery process and like was pulling infection out of her body. He's doing it slowly so she still suffers, but so she doesn't die.
Yeah, but he can't not do it. It's his job. It's his main reason for existing is to spread this. So like he's fully in control, but he also has no choice.
Damn, what a predicament.
It's a real pickle. The man slams enough alcohol to go to the hospital and thanks her. He dozes off and relaxes as she holds his hand and recites poetry to him as his breathing slows and he never wakes up. She takes the whiskey with her when they leave the house, but this time she's tied to Pestilence instead of the horse and rides in front of him in the saddle. So she got a little upgrade.
Ooh, yeah, hell yeah.
Luxury. He tells her if she tries to escape again, she's running again. As they ride, he tells her he kept her alive to prolong her suffering. She doesn't know why, but she doesn't believe him. She tells him she's grateful, and he says he doesn't care. They ride all day and finally stop at another house. He kicks down the front door again. It's what he does. Damn. It's his MO. It's abandoned, and he reminds her again not to try and escape. As she lights a fire in the fireplace, she's like, stop looking at my ass, horseman, but he just scoffs.
Oh.
Pestilence leaves to bathe, and she stares into the fire thinking about her parents and how they begged her to come with them when the town was evacuated, but she said she needed to stay behind. It was the only time she ever saw her father cry, and tears fall down her face at the memory.
What a surprise. I half thought you'd try to escape again. Instinctively, my shoulders hike up at Pestilence's voice. I clear my throat, then swipe quickly at my eyes. He doesn't get the pleasure of seeing me upset. I get that you don't think highly of people, I say, swiveling to him, but that's just... Jesus! Standing on the other side of the room, his hair still dripping from the shower, he is a very naked Pestilence.
Ooh. He says, take a good look.
Look at my penis.
Because he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a damn about anything.
He doesn't. He's like, yeah, that's my dick.
He's like, yeah, it's my appendage. What do you want?
My appendage.
She's like, please put on pants as she's trying to not start literally fanning herself. But he's like, no.
You're seriously going to make me look at you naked? I ask. Where you look is your concern. He steps up to the fire and seriously, I can't even stress how hard it is to not look there. Really, really hard. Bet the horseman wouldn't get that joke. But
He tells her to lay down on the couch and take her shirt off. And she's like, what is happening here?
She's like, what?
I think he might like me. But before she can start stabbing him with the fire poker, he puts his clothes back on. She legit takes a swing at him and he just throws her on the couch onto her stomach and rips the back of her shirt open. He takes off her bandages and tells her to sit up and he rebandages her. She's getting whiplash from this behavior and just starts cry laughing. And eventually she's like, these need to be cleaned. And he's like, no, they don't. They won't get infected. I control all infections. And then he moves on to her wrists. She asks why he's doing this, and he just says suffering is meant for the living. The next day, they're at a house with hot running water. She wants to bathe, but Pestilence refuses to let her be alone for that long and refuses to leave the bathroom. She's not too weak to disobey him anymore, and she's finally like, whatever, fuck it, and strips, but she can't get the bandages off herself. So Pestilence just rips them off and says, you're welcome. Which would hurt so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 1 second, you're enjoying your first day off in forever. Then, mid-lunch, your phone buzzes. A window's been broken at home, and you're miles away. In 1 second, everything can change. That's why ADT offers security systems with 24/7 monitoring with tech that helps first responders prioritize your emergency. And with the ADT Plus app, you can stay informed and in control of your home from virtually wherever you are. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com to learn more.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
He glances at her naked body but doesn't respond to it, and she reminds herself that he's not a human and doesn't view nudity the way humans do. As she bathes, he studies her, but in a more curious way than a creepy way. She washes herself as best as she can, but she can't reach her back, so Pestilence kneels next to the bathtub and grabs her washcloth and begins washing her back, saying her weak attempts at hygiene are painful to watch. He's so gentle with her that she gets goosebumps and she has to tell herself it's just the cold air. And she's like, you don't even know my name. And he's like, I don't care. I can just call you human. And she's like, my name is Sarah.
Please call me Sarah.
Once again, he's like, I do not care. All humans are the same, vile and violent. And Sarah's like, you are literally killing all of us. And he says, well, I don't enjoy it. She asks if he has a name aside from Pestilence. And he says, no, he doesn't need a name to have a purpose. He tells her she's done and hands her a towel. And Sarah finds new clothes in one of the closets. She walks into the living room and sees Pestilence staring out the window, the light hitting him just right. So he looks like a literal angel. And she feels her heart start to stutter in her chest. They continue traveling together, and after a while things are almost pleasant between them, and she's even named his horse. The horse's name is Trixie Skills with a Z.
Why?
She gave him a whole backstory.
Oh goodness.
Yeah, he's got lore. As they pass through a new town, Pestilence says they need more supplies for her wounds, and he plans on going to the hospital. And Sarah's freaking out because she doesn't know if the hospital is full of the sick and dying and doesn't want to bring the literal plague to them. But Pestilence is just like, I'm gonna make you suffer in case you forgot, so let's go.
He's like, are you forgetting everyone is gonna die?
Yeah, like, you can't say
that. I'm gonna make you watch.
I like watching you cry, so let's go to the hospital. Pestilence busts down the front door and makes her look at every single patient and worker in there before they leave, knowing they're going to die soon. As they ride away, she's quiet and forlorn, and Pestilence tells her he's disappointed she didn't have any more cutting remarks for him, but she still won't speak. Finally, he comes up to another house. Obviously, he kicks the front door down. She follows him inside the empty home and tells him she doesn't want to speak to him right now. And he's like, you can pout all you want, but those people are still going to die. She tells him she's suffering. He's one. Just leave her alone. And he tells her she does not know the meaning of suffering yet. And she calls him a heartless bastard. The next morning, Sarah searches the house and finds moonshine and apple pie.
Ooh,
a little party.
Pestilence decides he wants to try a bite and he loves it, to her surprise. He finishes it, leaving nothing for Sarah. So she's like, do you want to try a bite? And he eats the whole pie.
I don't know why that's so funny.
I would be so upset.
That would bring me to tears, but
I'd be like, the last apple pie I'll probably ever see in my existence. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. He said, wow, this is good. I'm going to eat the whole thing.
And he doesn't even need to eat.
Yeah.
Fuck him. They ride off for the next destination and it's freezing outside. And eventually Sarah starts showing signs of hypothermia. As she's passing out, Pestilence notices and says she's not all right. Trixie takes off at a gallop and he asks why she didn't say anything. But she's like, I'm supposed to suffer, right? They pull up to a house and he kicks down the front door. Sarah hears screams and sees a middle-aged couple and two young children hiding behind them. I hated this part of the book. She wakes up in a bed with Pestilence spooning her to get her body temperature back up, and she can hear the children outside the room begging their parents to let them go pet Trixie. Sarah begs him not to let the children die, and he tells her that everybody dies. They won't die today. They have a few days left, but that obviously doesn't make her feel any better. She begs him to change his mind, and he tells her he's not here to please her. He's here to end the world. They stay at the house for 4 days, and Sarah cares for the family as the sickness eventually takes them, and they all die a painful death.
Even the small children.
Yes. And she just stays with them and, like, holds their hand and does what she can.
Yeah. She takes care of them as best as she can. She'll, like, do, like, washcloths on their face. Like, she's very sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She asks Pestilence why he has to take the children. And he's like, if I spared them, they'd be all alone. And that would be far worse. She asks why he has to kill it all. And he's like, why did you humans have to ruin the world?
I mean, yeah.
Let this be a warning to you, litter bugs.
Pestilence is coming.
As they ride off on Trixie, he hands her a sandwich he made for her. And she's like, that's strangely kind. So it's like actual food.
It's weird.
Yeah.
He confides in her that he does not like watching people die. He's only doing what he has to do. At the next house they stop at, he asks her why she stays to help the dying. And she says to help them. And he's like, it also makes you feel better, doesn't it? And she says, yeah, obviously. Suffering's for the living, and you've made me suffer. He brings up her burning him alive again, and she's like, I hunted you down like an animal because you deserve it, and I'd do it again.
Period.
Tell him.
He doesn't get angry. He says, I am what I am. I came here with a task, and I must complete it. She asks who gave him the fucking right, and he tells her to speak carefully, but she won't stop. So he shoves a nearby sheet in her mouth, gagging her, and binds her wrists behind her back when she tries to fight him again. She kicks him right in the face. He asks if she's ready to be civilized yet, and she says no. He waits a few minutes and eventually undoes her bindings, and she's so emotionally exhausted that she just falls asleep.
So the next morning, they're heading straight into Vancouver, and the people of Vancouver decided that they're gonna do a straight ambush this time. Not like how Sarah did, just a one person. The whole city's coming together, and they're gonna fuck Pestilence up.
What's he gonna do? Drag them all behind his horse, too?
As he realizes that it's a straight ambush, Pestilence shoves Sarah off the horse, Trixie, and starts shooting arrows at the people that are shooting at him. This kind of gives us a little bit more of a backstory. She's also a paramedic firefighter. So she lets her paramedic instincts take over, and she starts tending to the people that are wounded in the street that Pestilence hit with his arrows. So she literally goes from person to person, and it's drawing other first responders into the street, helping other victims too. And they all start working together to help the wounded. Eventually, Pestilence comes back to her, and one of the first responders was like, what are you doing? Because it's Pestilence. And she just gets up and starts walking towards him, like knowing her fate. And she knows that there's no way to fight running from him. But the closer that she gets to him, she doesn't know if it's the look in his eyes or the amount of blood that's literally covered on him. But she just looks at him and then just starts booking it. So she starts running.
Like away from him?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But she doesn't get very far, and he just picks her up and places her on the horse, except for when he picks her up and lifts her onto Trixie, she's like straddling Pestilence facing him.
Oh.
Trixie keeps galloping until they reach Vancouver Island Beach, and when they get to the water, Trixie doesn't stop. They just keep running full force on top of the water.
Oh, they're on the water.
On the water?
I would be scared.
I would hate that.
Once they're like fully on top of the water, she awkwardly swings her legs over till she's correctly sitting on top of the horse, and Pestilence leans really heavily on her, and she realizes that there's something really wrong and that he's literally not responsive. She sees that he's bleeding from a dozen different bullet wounds, so she steers them towards a nearby island, and when they get there, she lays him on the sand. She tries to rationalize with herself that she knows that she could literally escape right now when he's recovering and unconscious, but she's also like, it's like the angel and the devil on her shoulder, and the other part of her is telling her, like, no, you're slowing Pestilence down. As he's like literally laying unconscious on the sand, she's like playing with his hair, and she's like soothing him, and he's coming back to consciousness, and he's completely shocked that she's still by his side. They get to a house that's right off the shore from where they landed, and Sarah starts taking care of him. He regains consciousness and finds her doing this, and he can still, again, hardly believe it. She finds a bottle of alcohol at the house to disinfect his wounds, and she pours him a shot to drink. He doesn't take it, he just smells it, and she's like mad that he's not drinking with her. So she's like, fuck this, I need a bath.
Yeah, you can't drink alone.
I know, she's like, have a shot with me, and he smells this, and he's like, ugh, ew. She's in the bath, and Pestilence comes in, and she tells him that she needs some alone time, and that's when she sees him take the shot, and she explains to him what alcohol is, and that some people drink it to ease pain, and some people drink it to alter their state of mind. He explained to her that he didn't really know how he felt about her trying to take care of him the same way that she was seeking care of the dying people. And she was staring at him and realizing how cute he is. This is when she starts realizing that he's hot.
They always have to be beautiful.
He continued to drink the alcohol, and she asked him why he was still drinking it if he thought it was disgusting. And he told her that she already altered his mind and he wanted to alter it back.
She's changing him.
She is changing him.
By the time that she was done bathing, she came out and Pestilence was drunk as fuck. He was like drinking the whole bottle.
He's like, hey girl, I'm fucked up.
He asked her why she didn't leave him, and she was like, if he's not doing this sober, I'm not doing this sober. So she took the bottle, downed some bourbon, and told him the truth, which was that she didn't know why she didn't run. On the beach, all she could think about was helping him. Since he's drunk and he's kind of slipping up about the history of his brothers, he told her that his brothers still sleep and like cryptically said that they will wake up when it's time. She's like, okay.
So more death and destruction will be coming.
Yeah, like what the fuck do you say to that?
Oh, good.
He also said that there's a possibility that humanity can still redeem itself and that maybe not everyone has to die. And she's like, bet, new mission.
She's like, why don't we just stop right now then?
Right. She's like, so you're saying that you literally can stop? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
And he's like, I can, but I won't.
He admitted to Sarah that he feels something when he looks at her and that he doesn't know what it is, but it's driving him mad because he doesn't like her kind and he's definitely not supposed to like her, but he does. He looks at her with hunger in his eyes and he takes his thumb and puts it on her lower lip and leans in so close. He tilts her jaw up and his eyes are just like locked on her lips, but he hesitates and she just whispers, please. And with that one word, it like snapped him out and he walked away. The next morning, she is hungover as fuck. They get to the horse, and Pestilence is appalled when he finds out that she named his male horse Trixie Skills. All while they're still like awkward and like they're both not making eye contact with each other because of what happened between them last night. She asked if they should talk about it, and he's like, what's there to talk about? And then she's like, I forgot how bad this guy sucks. So they get on Trixie and they start back on their journey. Trixie goes back on running water and she gets really bad hangover slash vertigo combo. And she leans over to puke and like literally like plunges into the freezing cold Pacific Ocean and starts like literally drowning.
Oh my God. My nightmare.
She's like, yeah. But Pestilence saves her. Don't worry. Our boy, Mr. Plague, got her.
Mr. Plague. Yes, my name is Pestilence Plague.
She's literally like puking her guts up though of like ocean water and hungover, whatever the fuck that is, leftover alcohol and whatever she ate.
I would rather drown. That sounds fucking awful.
And they get in an argument because Pestilence thinks that she was literally trying to kill herself, even though she was just trying to vomit because she's hungover.
He's like, you're trying to escape me. And she's like, no, I fell. I didn't think I would fall in the water.
And she was like, why do you care anyways if I'm trying to kill myself?
He grabs my chin, forcing me to look at him. His eyes search mine and they're raging with anger. All at once, he jerks my face forward and kisses me.
After she just
pesty
puke breath.
Ew. Ugh. The vomit. Imagine how stinky her breath is. But that's his first kiss.
He says, vile humans.
Come here, little pukey pukey.
It was so harsh, it was almost violent. And Pestilence Avi has never kissed anyone before, so he didn't know what his lips were supposed to do. So our girl Sarah, she helped him out. Things started getting good and hot and heavy, and the kiss breaks, and Pestilence begs her not to kill herself again and says that he will not allow her to die.
That's his girl.
They haven't come across a house, so they have to camp out for the night, which means that they have to snuggle to stay warm.
Oh, no.
Don't do that.
At the camp, they made a fire, and Pestilence is staring at Sarah and admits that she's oddly pleasing to him. And she's like, does he have a crush on me? And they have some campfire talks. They talk about God. He was the one who deemed pestilence on this mission. And they talked about religion and how he's not one specific man-made religion. He just is. The whole time that he's talking, Sarah's like completely engulfed in him. And she realizes that she wants him.
But also, he's like, so God told me, hey, you gotta go kill all of those people that I made.
Yeah.
Because they're not doing great. Kill them.
It does do like a really deep, not like a really deep dive, but it does do a real, like a deep dive into it a lot more.
That was the gist of it.
Read the book if you want to know.
She realizes that she wants him bad. And she doesn't know who moves first, but the next thing that she does know is that she's moving and he's moving. There's no rush, though. And then Pestilence is in front of her on his knees.
I cannot decide if you are a toxin or a tonic, he says, lifting a hand to my cheek, only that you plague my thoughts and fill my veins.
That would make me blush.
Don't you infect me with your dick.
Why don't you plague me? Get me sick. Yeah. Infect me.
Ew. He pleads with her to tell him that she feels the same way, and she grabs his face and kisses him.
His gaze returns to my mouth, and whatever restraint he has left now crumbles. His lips are back on mine, stronger and surer than before. The previous kiss could be called a mistake, but not this one. He kisses me eagerly, leaning into me until his warm chest presses against mine. I let my hands drift over his face like I'm trying to memorize him by feel. They're in love.
He picks our girl up and carries her to the tent and lays her down, putting himself between her legs, and he's still kissing her. She's horny, she's feeling it, and he's like, the sensation I'm feeling, is this love? And she's like, oh, hell no. She's like, that ruined the moment.
She's like, you're horny. You are horny.
And she like gently peels him off of her. And she's like, aww. No, baby. Mm-mm. This is lust. Sarah tries to sleep but can't because Pestilence like left the tent after this. He just like was like, I'm gonna go, bye. And he left going off to God knows where, literally. It's late when he returns and he finally kneels next to her and climbs into bed and spoons her. Just as she's falling asleep, she hears him confess that it's not just lust that he feels, and he hopes that she's just as frightened as he is.
He's just a boy with feelings.
For the first time ever.
Feelings that he's never had before.
Yeah.
So how confusing for him.
The next morning, he gave her the cold shoulder and she was trying everything to get him to talk, and finally when he did, he confessed that he wants her like he had yesterday and he's feeling things that he shouldn't. And Sarah begs him to stop spreading the plague, and he says that he can't stop his role, just like she can't stop that she's human. They kiss and he admits that he doesn't want what they have to end, and she hates herself when she says it won't.
Is she just telling him what he wants to hear?
No, she just like, she truly feels it, but she hates herself for it because she's like, fuck, he's so sexy and I do really like him, but like he's literally killing everyone on the earth. They get to a house in the middle of the night looking for shelter and food, and the owner of the house is literally the fucking worst. He called Sarah a whore, and Pestilence is not having it. He tells the shitty man, call me whatever you want, but don't ever insult her or you will die the most painful death. Pestilence has a little one-on-one with him while Sarah walks herself outside, and the next thing that she knows, when Pestilence tells her to come inside, she can see compassion in his eyes, which again is like an emotion that she's never seen in him.
He's changing. He's a changed man.
So the house that they're in has a wife and children in the house, unfortunately. But the guy sucks. We hate him. So the next day, Sarah was in the kitchen getting water for the man's wife and kids who are coming down with the plague. And Pestilence comes up behind her and kisses the back of her neck. And Nick, who is the shitty homeowner, was completely disgusted when he saw it. Pestilence looked so insecure, which was like really sad. And Sarah like touched his face, basically saying like, it's okay, I'm not ashamed of you. And Pestilence gets a really hard exterior and shuts down and goes back to calling Sarah his prisoner. So she basically tells him if that's how it's gonna be, then he needs to keep his hands in his mouth to his fucking self. Because Nick was like, you let him touch you and fuck you, you're disgusting, you're a whore. It just made Pestilence realize that like humans are so shitty. It's two nights later, they're still at the house, and Sarah wakes up to a hot hand over her mouth and a gun that's under her chin. And it's Nick, and he tells her to get up.
Fuck you, Nick.
He drags her outside in deep snow into the forest in his backyard without shoes or jackets or literally anything on. She's just in her pajamas. Pestilence nor Trixie are anywhere to be seen, and she gets a really, really, really bad feeling about this.
Oh.
Something bad is gonna happen. He tells her that he's doing this to get vengeance on his family, and that she turned her back on her own kind, and then he kicked her in the middle of her back, sending her flying into the ground. He cocks the gun, and she's like, fuck, this is it, like, I'm going to die. And then she hears Pestilence say, put the gun down. Nick tries to bargain her for his family, and Pestilence was like, shoot her if you want, but I don't do bargains with mortals. And just as he was about to pull the trigger, he was littered with arrows.
Yeah.
Sarah rushes over to Nick because she can't fucking help herself. And even as he's dying, he tells her not to touch him because she's nothing but a whore. Pestilence is about to knock another arrow, and she begs him not to shoot him again because he's not a threat since he's already dying. But then he calls her a cunt. He's like, you fucking cunt. And Pestilence gets so angry. He's like, you could have spent your last final breaths pleading for your family, but instead there's only hate in your heart. And then he shoots him right in the throat.
Nice.
Also, get new material, man. A whore. Get with it. I know. It's fine.
Cunt. I love that word. Cunt.
But not when someone says it like a man says it angrily. Like, ew.
No. When men say it, I don't like.
No. Get the fuck out of here.
That is a women-only word.
They get back on the road, and Pestilence suddenly makes Trixie stop. And Sarah's like, what the?
Pestilence tilts my jaw, and then his mouth slams down on me, his other arm crushing me to him. It's the kiss of a desperate man, like he's trying to inhale me into himself. Whatever initial clumsiness he had with the act is gone, replaced by his ferocity. He eventually breaks away, his lips swollen. Pestilence's blue eyes are luminous. You came too close to death for my liking. It's like he's only now really processing it. And right here is the answer to my earlier question. My death would have affected the horseman. Sure would. He would have been real bummed. That is his girl.
They're traveling and they find another house that is empty this time. Thank God. So there's no other plague to be spread that she can see, like, firsthand. She falls asleep in front of the fireplace while Pestilence was out riding ahead in case humans tried ambushing him. So Sarah wasn't put in danger. When he returns, Sarah wakes up and it looks like he just showered and he's, like, glistening and he's naked. And she sees strange glowing marks glimmering and shining on his skin. She asks what it was and he said that it's his purpose writing into his flesh in the language of the Holy One. A language that is not meant for any mortals to hear. The house they're in has a flyer warning that Pestilence is coming, but this time it says traveling with a mystery woman, and there's a picture of Sarah's face on it.
I'd be like, oh my god.
She's like, who's that girl? This is embarrassing.
Uh-oh.
They get to Seattle 2 days later, and she's like, when the heck did we get into another country? They get into a neighborhood, and Pestilence finds a house, just swings open the door like he does with every house, and this time there's an old lady sitting on the couch. She tells Pestilence that they have nothing of value, and he tells her that they don't want her things. They're looking for her hospitality. She looks him up and down as her husband asks who's at the door. She tells him that she believes it's one of the four horsemen. She welcomes them into her home with open arms and introduces herself as Ruth. The old man, who introduces himself as Rob, says his house is their house, and both Pestilence and Sarah are like, what the fuck is going on? Up until this point, they have been treated with death threats and disrespect. Because everyone's like, get the fuck away from me, Pestilence. Ew.
You're the plague.
Right? Go away.
In 1 second, you're enjoying your first day off in forever. Then, mid-lunch, your phone buzzes. A window's been broken at home, and you're miles away. In 1 second, everything can change. That's why ADT offers security systems with 24/7 monitoring, with tech that helps first responders prioritize your emergency. And with the ADT Plus app, you can stay informed and in control of your home from virtually wherever you are. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com to learn more.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Pestilence straight up was like, why aren't you scared of me? And Rob tells him that he does not fear death because his children have grown up and their children are nearly grown. And he will be leaving this world with his wife at his side. Rob and Ruth are so in love and so patient and kind to Sarah and Pestilence. It's so heartwarming and cute. This part of the book is my favorite, hands down. It's showing Pestilence what true kindness and love really is. Sarah, Pestilence, Ruth, and Rob all sit down for a while talking until Sarah goes to her bedroom for the night, and Rob and Ruth and Pestilence continue talking. She hears Pestilence come into her room, and she, like, panics and fake sleeps because she doesn't know what to do. And he sits on the ground against the dresser and straight up confesses his undying love for her.
Pesty.
He tells her that he finds her beautiful and that he's scared that one day she will die before him and that he's never felt this way for anyone before until he met her and that he never understood the meaning of the word mercy. Things he feels for her when they're together is an agonizing type of pleasure and that he basically burns for her. He gets up and starts to walk away but then pauses and says, for good or for ill, he has been forever changed by her. And then finally, when he starts to walk away is when she starts crying. The next morning, Sarah's in the kitchen and is about to eat breakfast when Pestilence comes in and she's like, where's Rob and Ruth? And he tells her that the plague has begun taking its toll on them.
No, Rob, Ruth!
Sarah feels so guilty because Rob and Ruth are such good people and is really mad at Pestilence at first. Then she remembers his words from last night and then she like turns around and kisses him. He kisses her back and thinks they're getting hot and heavy, but then she pushes him away and she's definitely aware that she's giving him mixed signals, but she also feels really bad that Rob and Ruth are like in the next room, like dying of the plague. So she goes and tends to them instead. And this time Pestilence actually goes and helps her, which is like a huge step because every other time before this, he's always gone away when the people were dying because he hates watching people die with the plague. Rob's voice is weak and he's literally laying on his deathbed praying for Pestilence to find peace and for Sarah to have strength on her journey in this role. And Sarah has to walk away because she can't deal with him praying for them. I was downright sobbing at this part. She was pleading with Pestilence not to let them die. They're good people and they don't deserve to die this way, but Pestilence would not budge even though he looks torn. He walks up to her and puts his arm around her and she just sobs in his arms and tells him that she won't be able to survive all of this. Rob and Ruth know death is coming because they scooch closer to each other in bed and Pestilence is in the room just staring at them. Sarah tugs him out of the room knowing that they would want to spend their last couple hours together alone and she was asking him why he was watching them since he doesn't like watching people die and he told is because they're in love and he's never seen people in love like this.
You could have just told me they live.
I know.
They don't.
Shut up.
Rob passes away first and Pestilence looks sad and Ruth is so sad and crying. They're having like a little like heart to heart and Ruth tells Pestilence that she forgives him and he looks completely shocked. They exchange some words and Sarah realizes that Pestilence is just as much of a victim of the apocalypse as she is. Pestilence leaves the room and then Ruth tells Sarah that it's okay to care and that even loving Pestilence, that it's not wrong, it's not something to feel guilty about, and that maybe love is the only thing to get us out of this mess.
Ruth passes away 2 hours after her talk with Sarah.
Ruth!
And Pestilence decides that Rob and Ruth's bodies won't be like the others, so he grabs a shovel and starts to dig them a grave in the backyard.
Sweet.
Pestilence and Sarah work quietly to bury the couple, but Sarah ends up not finishing. Like, she's like, okay, I can't do this anymore, so she goes inside to take a bath. In the middle of her bath, he walks in to check on her, and she asks if he wants to join her, so he starts undoing his armor. They sit for a moment in the bathtub, and he asks why she invited him, and she said that she just wants to be close to him. He asks how humans get mates, and she tries to explain it to him, but then he starts rubbing her leg, and it's very distracting.
Ooh.
She stops the conversation and straddles him, kissing him lightly. She takes his hands and sets them over her breasts, begging for him to touch her.
Never imagined they'd be this soft, he murmurs. He's looking at my breasts like he's a 13-year-old discovering his father's skin mags for the first time.
Oh my god.
He leans forward and sucks a nipple into his mouth, and she's already about to come. She stops before it moves further and tells him that they shouldn't do this here, but he just pulls her close and holds onto her. They decide to leave Rob and Ruth's house and continue their path to Seattle, so nothing happens except a little
goddamn
nipple action, you know? As they're traveling, it's very quiet, and Seattle is oddly empty, and Seattle's like a huge fucking city, so for it to be like silent and no one outside is terrifying. They spot a dying man and Sarah goes to him to try to ease his last moments, and then she comes to the realization that it's like Pestilence has already been there. He admits that he has. A couple nights ago when she was asleep, he went ahead of her to start spreading the plague, so it wasn't a repeat of Vancouver and they weren't like attacked. They continue on their way south, and over the next week, they repeat the process. They stop, he leaves while she's asleep, gets the plague going, and then they continue their traveling. Once they pass the cities, they find an old cabin to hunker down in for the night, and she grabs what she can find to eat and sits down next to Pestilence. She tries to get him to talk about himself, and he's like, why? What? Like, what's the point? Like, I just exist. I don't have things to talk about, like my favorite secret stuff. So she's like, okay, never mind.
Good talk, good talk.
And then he slowly opens up and says that his favorite possession is his horse. He loves Dawn, dislikes human clothes, and his favorite person is her.
Cute.
Cutesy.
And she's like, okay, I think I might love you, but I'm not going to say anything. So they go inside to sit by the fire, and she asks if he wishes it could be different, and he's like, doesn't do anything to wish for that, so no. She pushes him down to the floor, and he pulls her with him. They kiss, and she's done fighting whatever they have going on. They undress him first, and then they start to take her clothes off. Once she is also naked, she starts kissing his markings down his body, but before they can continue, he stops to admit a truth. The day he found her in the woods, he was going to kill her, until the light hit her tent in a certain way, and one of the markings on his body appeared on her tent, and the marking that he saw means mercy. He lays over the top of her and puts her legs up and then stares down at her vagina.
He said, damn, what's that? I reach between us and wrap my hand around it, pulling a groan from him. Sarah, this is beyond words. Oh, so she like grabs his dick?
She lines his dick up to her entrance and begs him, and he says, okay. So they fucking...
They're gonna do it.
He's not a virgin anymore.
As he fucks her, he admits that he never wants to leave. She comes and he follows shortly after, shocked by the feeling of his first climax. And then he says it was heavenly, but he says it in his native language.
I wonder what it sounds like. He's like...
Probably. The whole next day, he's being cute and lovey, and she's like, what's going on? They leave the cabin to continue, and he stops them at a church. And she's like, why are we stopping here?
Oh, God, this part made me so uncomfortable.
Oh, no.
She asks why they're stopping there, and he says that he wants to prove his commitment to her, and he wants to go get married real quick.
Oh, did she tell him no?
She is mortified and says they cannot do this just because she's the first woman that he's been with, and now he's fucking mad and wants to know if she's ever fucked anyone before. She's like,
sir.
Yes, I have. And he says he shouldn't be so surprised by humankind. He says she'll not be with anyone else because it's sacred. And she says, I will be with whoever I want and I will not marry you. And then he tells her that he'll just have to chain her to him to prevent it. And they keep writing.
Oh my God. But also, like, girl, he's killing everyone. So
crazy. Your options are literally dwindling daily.
Might as well
marry that man.
They made a whole kilometer past the church when he's shot.
This is America. We do miles.
Eagles are the only fucking country.
And he was shot.
Yeah, he was shot. She prevents him from falling off Trixie when she sees half of his face is fucking missing.
I feel like I would drop him off the horse. Like, if I was, like, was trying to hold him up and then all of a sudden saw half his face is gone, I feel like I'd push him off. I'd be like, ah! Get off!
He does fall off the horse, and now the townspeople are surrounding her, saying she's free, and they start pulling her away. Pestilence no. groans, and someone shoots him multiple times as she's dragged into a nearby building, which so happens to also be a church. She regrets every word that they just exchanged and makes a plan to go save him, but they won't let her leave. So she's like, all right, gotta switch this around now. She says that she forgot something back there and grabs someone's gun, demanding that they let her go. They see that she is a little crazy looking, so they're like, okay, go ahead. Do what you like, want.
You scare me.
So she gets on Trixie and says, take me to Pestilence. They have him buried in a half shallow grave, and she has to dig him out to drag him onto the saddle, and then they start to gallop away. They make it to an abandoned home, and she refuses to leave his side with the exception of making a fire and trying to clean him as best as she can. She watches his body regenerate itself and declares that it has to be magic or faith or something for him to do that. When he opens his eyes, he asks if she's okay, and she starts to cry, and he's like, why do you have so much blood on you? Like, is everything fine? And she says, it's actually your blood, and I just don't want you to be hurt. So he touches her and kisses her eagerly. She apologizes for everything that's happened to him by the hands of humans and that he means something to her. He asks again if she'll marry him, but she says, let's just work on some makeup sex.
Fair.
He takes her to the back room and they undress. He looks at her with love in his eyes and kisses down her body and back up.
Okay, so like the other half of his face is there now?
Yes, it regenerated.
Thank God. I'd be like, don't touch me.
Let's just fuck doggy style.
Yeah.
Don't look at me. I feel him thick against me, his cock pressed against my entrance. Without warning, Pestilence drives himself inside. I nearly moan as he fills me, coating himself in my wetness.
They both admit out loud that this is definitely lovemaking, and his pace doubles and he moves faster and deeper inside of her. When they both finish, he holds her, and after a while, she whispers that she's not his prisoner, and he agrees. The next day, they continue to travel when he asks if she wants kids, and she's like, excuse me? He says he isn't human, but he knows how reproduction works, and they've had unprotected sex twice now. She's like, I'm gonna fucking throw up. Can that even happen? And he says, yeah, I think so.
Oh, God.
She asks if he wants kids or if he's even thought about it, and he has. He's actually thrilled by the idea, but also torn because he's killing humans. So he's like, how am I supposed to be a father to one if I'm supposed to kill them?
Yeah.
She's like, well, maybe it would be immortal. And he says, maybe.
Mom. He's like, I don't know shit.
Yeah. When they make it to the next town, everyone is dressed in white and bowed, waiting for Pestilence. The leader introduces himself as Ezekiel, and he offers up 3 women for Pestilence to take. But he's like, what do I do with them? What do you want me to do with these women? I don't need them.
He's like, I need you all to die.
Yeah. Ezekiel says he can do whatever he pleases with the women, but he is like, I don't want them. I'm not going to spare you. Like, you're all going to die, and I'm going to keep going. And the townspeople let him leave.
Also, he just leaves the town, and then those 3 girls are like, thanks.
Yeah.
They stop at an outpost for supplies and a tent, and they have to go camping for the night. They get into an argument over her, like, nonchalantly trying to get him to change, and she calls him out. She tells him the world might have forgotten God, but he makes the choice to go to specific places to kill people. And he says, still not going to stop my mission. Like, you cannot change the course of this. And then they have sex.
Yeah.
The next day, as they're traveling onward, she tells him stories about her life, and then they are thrown apart, and her body is in searing pain. She sees the road has exploded, and Pestilence lays beneath half of Trixie's body with a head wound. So the horse is, like, blown in half.
Ah!
Yeah. Not Trixie's skills.
Is she immortal too? Or he? Whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, thank God.
She realizes that they just hit a bomb as people come from the trees with hateful looks on their faces. She knows that they're not going to survive this. As the group approaches, Pestilence tries to tell them to spare Sarah, but he's shot in the face and a woman kicks Sarah in the temple and her whole world goes black. She wakes up with a throbbing headache and she's bound. She sees a crowd gathered at the telephone pole and her vision clears more. She sees that they have Pestilence tied to the base of it with a star of a firewood pile at his feet.
Oh man, he's gonna burn alive again.
He is mutilated and they watch him further mutilate him and she screams until someone slaps her. She begs for them to stop, but they just cut her bindings and walk her towards Pestilence, threatening to abuse her. She is now standing front row to Pestilence and tries to tell him about how much he means to her when she's shot in the midsection.
I think they have him like crucified on that little thing.
Yeah, they have him crucified onto a telephone pole.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Pestilence roars as she falls to the ground, and the last thing she sees is his crucifix being lit. She wakes to hearing her name, and she tries to make sense of everything going on when she sees Pestilence dragging his half-mutilated corpse over to her.
No!
Yes.
If he wanted to, he would. Tell him, period.
Her vision goes black again, and then she wakes up sometime later to him holding her, asking for forgiveness. She's in and out of consciousness. She wakes up multiple times and sees him staring down at her, begging her to hang on a bit longer. She looks over to see Trixie, who is also mutilated, before she passes back out.
Also, if I saw my man's half mutilated body crawling towards... No!
Get back!
Get away from me!
She wakes up hearing Pestilence arguing with someone to save her life because he loves her. It's muted light in the room. She's no longer in pain. And she can make out someone when she realizes it's the 4th horseman, Thanatos. She says that she needs to get back to Pestilence and his interest is piqued. He's like, okay. And then she free falls until she passes out again.
What is happening?
She died and she saw death.
Oh.
And she's like, I'm not done doing what I need to do with Pestilence. And he's like, all right.
He said, go with my brother.
She wakes to immense pain again and sees that she's at a hospital in a bed and her injuries are wrapped. She leaves the bed and in the hall, she smells before she sees dozens of dead, bloated bodies. Then she hears Trixie's hooves and sees them round the corner. He hurries to her and scoops her up kissing her and apologizing for not being there when she woke. She admits that she heard him say that he loves her, and he lets her know what happened to all the people and how he killed them since they wouldn't help her. And then he places her into like this little cart that's hooked up to Trixie, and they leave. They make it to a new house and they hold each other close, admitting how scared they were when he tells her again how much he loves her, and then she collapses from overexerting. They stay in the house for a long time while he fusses over her and she heals. They are there for so long that the world thinks that he went back to sleep, so all over the news they're like, pestilence no longer sighted, blah blah blah.
Yeah, no bitches.
But she's finally healed and he doesn't believe her, so she's like, how about I show you I'm healed? So she pulls him to the bed, straddles him, and then rolls her hips over his groin. She starts stripping his clothes off and kissing him until he takes over, removing her own clothes.
He dips down, pressing his lips to my core. Reflexively, I buck up against him. He spreads my legs apart and continues to kiss me right between my thighs. What are you doing? I ask, breathless. I begin to sit up, only for him to push me back down to the bed. I assume it's obvious, he says. He nips at me, and oh Jesus, he is so fucking dirty. Where did he learn to be this dirty? His tongue comes out, and he tastes me. I moan, my back arching off the bed. This is how you kill me, I murmur. Where'd he learn that? Where'd you learn it, pestilence?
Somebody cooked here.
He continues to eat her out until she comes, and then he crawls up her body and pushes inside of her. He doesn't take it slow at all and just fucks her until they both finish. And just as she's about to fall asleep, he admits that he still needs to finish what he started. The next morning, the news states that the plague has hit the whole West Coast going down to Mexico, but no sign of him. She's dumbstruck and can't believe that he still did this. She demands to know how he did it because that's way too much traveling to do in one night. And he says that he's always been able to push the plague out without physically being there, so he just did it.
Oh, why are you putting yourself through all of that then?
To suffer. It's all about the suffering.
No, but for him, he doesn't need to suffer.
No, but he wants to make all of them suffer.
That's true. That's true.
And he wants to make his presence known. They have to know he's coming.
It's the, what is it? The theater.
The theater of it all.
She begs for him to undo it and says that she loves him and needs him to undo it. But he's like, no, the world's going to end. And she's like, I'm going to walk away from you. Like, I can't do this. Can't be with you.
Ugh.
She grabs her things and walks out the door into the cold. And she tells him she never wants his vengeance. She only ever wanted his mercy. He stops her and she says that she would stay with him because she loves him. But she says that it's not enough. He doesn't let her leave, and he locks her in the master bedroom. After a couple days of being locked up, he comes in and says that he surrenders. He only wants her, and since he can't have her the way he wants, she's free to go, but he's not gonna kill her. She does leave and learns weeks later that there's still no sign of him. This bitch hikes all the way back to Canada.
Jesus Christ.
She learns from a grocery store owner that all the sick are recovered and it hasn't spread anywhere new.
Go back to him.
She continues on with a broken heart, but is happy to be reunited with her family and her life returns to somewhat normal. One night in her old apartment, she's lonely and he's all that she's thinking about. And she gets a knock on her door. It's him.
Pessy.
In normal clothes.
Oh.
Not his armor. She lets him inside and she asks where his things are. And he says that his purpose is served. He followed her home to ensure her safety and stayed away until she fully healed. She's scared to ask what happened now, but all he says is for her to come with him and find out. He wants everything with her, a life and love and all things human experience. She says that she's gonna die one day, and he says that he knows, but he wants every minute that she has to be with him. And she says, okay, all her last minutes are his.
Cute.
He kisses her and they move to her bedroom. They start to undress and he lines himself up at her entrance.
He pushes into me, his cock thick, the pressure of it exquisite. I can feel him everywhere. My horseman lets out a breath, staring down at me with beautiful, terrible eyes. God almighty, he whispers.
She tells him that she loves him and they show each other how much they miss one another. Once he finishes, he goes to grab something from the living room and he comes back and tells her his crown and armor was still good for something and gets down on one knee and proposes with a gold ring made from his crown and armor.
Say yes.
She says yes, but he needs a human name. She cannot always call him Pestilence. And he's like, I've picked one for myself since we've been apart.
I hate this part.
His name is Victor.
Oh, okay.
He said, I like it. It's got a little ring to it. Very demure, very mindful.
I've been saying that. And Andrew's like, what the fuck are you saying? And I'm like, very demure, very mindful.
Very demure.
See how I do this?
She says it's a perfect name. So, epilogue, 5 years later, Victor drops his book and she's scared that he's having a heart attack as he clings to the wall for support. She asks him what's wrong and he says that his brother has awoken and he won't be easily stopped. He tells her to pray for the world because war is coming. The end.
Oh, God. Now we have to do the other ones.
You can do the other ones. I'm down.
Yeah, I'm down.
War is fun. I feel like if I'm remembering correctly, war is like funny, like there's witty banter. Ooh. He's a fun guy. Let us know. Definitely do you want us to do war, famine, death? Because we will. Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I think I'm gonna have to be with Jenna. I think this is a fiver.
A fiver.
Wow.
Let's go, girl.
I really liked this one.
Do you find pestilence?
I do.
His name is Victor.
Oh, sorry, Victor.
I do.
Would you trade places with Sarah?
Oh, probably not.
That sounds horrible.
That sounds absolutely traumatizing.
To watch honestly, everybody die around you? Uh-huh. No.
The end of the world is one of my biggest fears. So, no. It's a no from me, dog.
All right. So next week, we're telling Riley all about Darling Venom by Parker S. Huntington. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what this might be about.
Okay. It's a pink little cover with a heart. And it says, my first love ended in tragedy. My second began with his brother.
Oh, no.
Okay. I think it's going to be a human book. Uh-huh. A human book, and this woman is going to be in this long-termish relationship with this man. He's going to die a brutal death. He's possibly a piece of shit, and that's maybe why he died. I don't know. Mm. But he dies, and then she gets with his brother, but his brother also a seedy character. And then they just do, they have a chaotic life, and fuck. Don't know.
How'd I do? So much sex. I think I'd give it like a 65%.
Ah.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad.
Slay.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. Don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten for early access ad-free episodes. And at the second tier, you have access to a podcast of unfortunate events where Riley and I will be doing a deep dive into a series of unfortunate events by Lemony Snicket.
Woo! Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.